no need to make you guess why I'm playing that. Dance to the Music, Sly and the Family Stone from 1968, and Dance to the Music. Yep, we lost another one, the Sound of Texas, Sylvester Stewart, of course, Sly Stone, RIP at the age of 82, legend. Let's say hi to Morris Misolowski, who's joining us live from Melbourne, as usual, for a Tuesday. G'day, Morris.
G'day. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday to you, mate. Good to be with you. So, you've got quite a cryptic one to talk about with us today. I don't suppose you just listened to our sort of our 12 o'clock news there. Interesting story at the end about the Apple conference, and people are basically going, meh.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm surprised it made the news.
Yeah, well, it's tech town.
It must have been a slow news day.
It's tech town here in Hong Kong, isn't it? No, I wrote this morning on the back of an article that Morris has penned, basically, that it's all about a shift so subtle, I was just finding it, a shift so subtle you didn't know it happened. And it's one of Morris's latest articles. So take us in there, Morris. What have you got?
Yeah, so as you said, we're talking about the WWDC.
Yeah.
It sounds much better when you think it's a wrestling match.
It sounds like it.
It should be. It really should be. It would have been more interesting. But it stands for the Worldwide Developers Conference. It's run every year, and every year we talk about it. And what it is Apple. We talked about Google's about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So
yeah.
Every big corp does it. This is Apple's. They do it twice a year. Once being now, which is the software. This is the back end. This is to let people know that they're developing up new products, using their platforms, where they're headed as a company and what they think is going to be important and where they're putting their energy. And then we have one around September, which is the toys. That's all the hardware, the new iPhones, the
right.
Macs and those sorts of things.
The one that we totally dig.
Yeah. So this is purely the back end. And that's why it's a bit of a yawn, because there's nothing big to announce. You know, there's nothing big and shiny that we go out and buy, nothing we need to get excited about. The iPhone hasn't changed or any of that.
Yeah.
But it is really monumental. It's important in the sense that it sets the ground rules for what Apple is going to do into the future. And it says, if you want to play in the Appleverse, then this is the way that you've got to play. These are the things that are important to us now. These are the sorts of directions we're headed in.
Mm.
And for that reason, I'm not sure if I should have made the news, but from that reason, I think it's still a very, very important catch-up, because it's a new direction, not an unexpected one, because, of course, our turtle friends, those initials, the AI, of course, that features in it. It's heavily, heavily baked into it. But it states categorically a new direction for Apple.
Right. I mean, the jury seems to be still out, really. There was news about their share price dipping and bits and pieces. And people just, you know, very underwhelmed.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because again, there's nothing to report in that sense. It's going to make the share market go crazy.
Right.
Share markets go crazy because there's new products, new things are going to be sold, so Apple will make more money. You know, it's kind of A plus B equals C stuff, and this isn't that. This is A plus B equals a trip to the zoo or the moon. You kind of got to believe it, imagine it for it to happen. So I'm not, you know, at all surprised the share market dropped. I don't give share market advice, but I don't think this is going to be their make or break at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think what comes of it over the next 6-12 months will be what sets the share market up, if it does at all.
Do you think people are getting AI fatigue? Because these companies are blabbing about it all the time. You get that impression?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that I am. I know everybody else is. But, you know, this is why it's important, because AI is here. You know, we can lament about
that,
it. We can talk about it.
Yeah.
We can do good or bad about it. But the reality is that what we have now in the last 3 weeks is Google and we have Apple both saying the same sort of thing. And when you put them together, they own 80% of the online space, 80%. So when 80% of that world is saying that, for good or bad, we're both headed in a similar direction, then everything that we assumed is now absolutely baked in, absolutely going to happen, and these are the roads that new developers are going to come on. And it is, which is why I penned it that way, firstly because I needed an angle that was going to make it somewhat interesting, but secondly because I do absolutely believe that this year very much is a watershed moment between the way we used to engage with online and the way that we are engaging in online into the future. And even online, the word doesn't make sense anymore, because it's really omnipresent. It's available everywhere.
He's talking about the way he wrote it. MorrisFuturist.com. The full title of this article is A Shift So Subtle You Didn't Know It Happened, But Today's Apple WWDC Announcements Have Already Changed You Forever. One thing I want to ask you about your blog, Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting new photos.
Yeah.
What's the deal there?
Oh, just a new approach.
Yeah. I mean, You've AI'd yourself.
I have.
That is brilliant. Yeah, okay then. Changed you forever, Maurice. Where are you going with that bit?
Because most people, maybe it's just me and I'm, you know, suggesting other people have the same foibles or idiosyncrasies, but most people are using online for a lot of their life to find things to make decisions on, you know, to do all kinds of stuff. And if what we're getting online is different from what we had before, I think it's got to change our future. I'm talking, you know, subtle nudges. I'm talking about different ways of approaching, different ways of thinking, and different sorts of things are going to happen. Perhaps let's have a look at the stuff that they did announce, the things that I'm more likely to Please. See before we get behind the scenes.
Oh, before you do, Maurice, on the back of last week's convo, you know we were talking about the new AI thing that appears at the top of Google searches now.
Yeah.
You're quite right. Mm-hmm. It totally has changed the way people search, because you can actually ask it direct questions now, as you would do, you know, chat, whatever.
Yeah. It's starting to upset the SEO, the search engine optimization.
Because it's not going any further.
No. And everything that was search-based, which is kind of what we did for the last 10 years, if you wanted your company or your product to be up there and to be seen, you spent a lot of money, time and energy using SEO and all kinds of marketing tricks and all kinds of whatevers. I mean, really, whatever was the new way of doing it, to push you to the top of the Google search, because you had to be at the top of the ladder to be found.
I see now why that's gone out the window.
Yeah. And now the top of the ladder is literally in the cloud. I mean, with Google, everything above that's Google, and that's all that you read and see.
Yeah.
And for most people, as we said last week, most people are not going to bother going beyond, you know, below the cloud to find the individuals, find Maurice or Phil or anymore. They're just going to read what's up there. And what's up there is, at this stage, because it's so new, is a whole new world of how do you get found in that space that never existed before.
I tell you what, I noticed that, like all the other ones, it gives you answers like, well, I wouldn't quite say that. I asked it a really random question. I was asking them about the novel Jaws, and I said, you know, is this out-and-out exploitation of animals just doing what animals do? Da, 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 da. Is it very 90s? I was listening to it, an audiobook, right? So I was asking it about sort of 1970s ways. Well, I wouldn't quite say this. I'm like, I'm not asking you for your opinion.
It's not really giving you opinion. That's what I find fascinating. But you're right to think it, because it wants us to think it's giving opinion.
Yeah.
It wants us to think it's actually engaging with us as a human do. So I'm giving you some emotional as well as some responsive to that. And in the end, all it is just a whole lot of considered bits and pieces. It's stuck together. Stolen from other places.
Are they going to wind this in, do you think? I will get back to our thing in a second. Are they going to wind this in? Because you can tell people are going to get really annoyed with it.
I don't think so, and I think it's exact opposite. I think people are going to start loving it.
Companies, though.
What happened before was also the same. You know, people said the same about search. It's overwhelming.
Yeah,
there's 50 million responses. And in the end, it did exactly what humans always do. It's called the crease, and the crease is everything above where you have to scroll down. So it's basically what you see. It's also the same in newspaper terms when it's folded. So everything above the crease at the top of it was pretty much the sum total of all most people wanted to know. Everything below it didn't matter, even though it might have been more important, more accurate or anything. This is exactly what's happening. And what you said before is what's cementing it. It now sounds like it's your best mate. It's not just a random bit of information that I managed to get there. It's actually your best mate telling you.
I think what it does is it directly quotes you, which is probably, it's your own fault.
It does. It mimics you back, and that's one of the things that it's taught to do. It's called mirroring, and that's a psychological term, where it mirrors. It learns your phrasing. It learns how you like to be spoken to, the sorts of tones, and it gives you that back, and it's nothing you've ever taught it to do and nothing you'd expect unless you look at it.
I think it's worth following this one at some stage, because you're quite right. In a nutshell, it's upsetting the whole notion of the search engine. But, Maurice, right now, give us your list of reasonable goodies that we'll understand.
Yeah, so these are the things that are going to be, these are the things that will end up on your iPhone, your Mac, or whatever you've got in that Apple-licious world.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they've said is that between now and the next 6 to 12 months, depending on what the item is and who develops it and the rest of it, these things we're going to see. So their words, these are their branding words for it. We're going to see iOS 26, which is the operating language, and I love this. It's called Liquid Glass Design.
Ugh. Man.
Yeah, I mean, someone's gone to ChatGPT and found all these wonderful words for it. But what it is, it's this thing that's really difficult to describe, and most people won't even realize it's happening, not because we're too silly to, but because it's being done so subtly that what's going to happen in this Apple world, up until now, all of our devices, you kind of had to hit a button, know what you were looking for, find the app, open it up, do all of that, so orchestrate it yourself. in this liquid glass design, what's going to happen is it's going to make a whole lot of assumptions based on your last click, where you are, what time of day it is.
Are they overstretching, Maurice? I mean, is there a thing about when people are struggling to innovate, but they know they have to, something like that?
I truly think this is what humans want. Again, maybe it's just me. It's the lazy factor. I mean that in the best sense, with all the love attached.
Yeah.
If you can figure out that I'm indoors, it's nighttime, then really a lot of things I want are about that, and it's going to surface just that and not leave out a whole lot of adventurous stuff down the track and the rest of it.
Yeah.
So we can argue good, bad, or indifferent, but I suggest most people are going to be really happy,
okay,
even without knowing it. And they're going to say how clever this device is because it kind of talks to me and nobody else. So that's liquid glass design.
So subtle, you didn't know it happened. That's what Maurice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's literally giving you a world. Now, I'm not necessarily saying this is a good thing. In fact, in my previous conversations with you, and lots of stuff I've written on the blog, I've argued this is a terrible thing because we're all walking blindly into the future. We're all now allowing these devices to decide for us what's right, wrong, think, don't think, buy, don't buy. So I'm not, for a moment, arguing in its favour,
yeah.
But it's definitely what's happening to us. Now, one of the next ones I think is something that we are all going to love. I don't have an iPhone, but I would almost buy it for this.
Oh, God.
It's called the Hold Assist.
Okay.
You know when you're on hold and you're waiting for a government instrumentality, it can be anybody else, and you are 453 in the queue?
Yes.
And you are fuming?
Every time.
Every time. And it doesn't matter how, you know, with the best of intent, you start off in that queue. By the time you fall down the queue, you've had enough. What Hold Assist does, it actually does the reverse of what that queue normally does, and it then listens to your phone and it will sit in the hold pattern for you and come back and yell at you when you are about to be spoken to.
That is quite cool, actually. I mean,
yeah.
That's a perennial Hong Kong thing. You know, hold
suit. So the hold assist will basically, you know, get in the queue, be upset about it, but then just put your thing on speakerphone. It'll sit in the queue and it'll yell out and say, Phil, you're next up. Get on the
phone. Has it got a function where it can go, fuff, you know,
So that's Hold Assist.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one of the ones, I mean, this is not for me because I don't use it a lot, but I know lots of people do. It's called the Genmoji 2.0. This will allow you to make all those Apple emojis specifically for you,
right.
But really specific. I mean, you'll be able to give it all sorts of cues, make an emoji for anything you want to say, do,
okay,
or feel, and then use it. It'll be yours that you've created, your own, okay, masterpiece.
Okay.
The next one is private.
That's another 10,000 Hong Kong dollars added to the price, probably.
Yeah. So these are all software. These are all software bits and pieces. So the next bit is an important one, but I don't think anyone really cares or will really understand what it means for them. We've talked a lot about, and everybody should talk a lot about, their privacy when they are using these ChatGPTs and whatever else they're using.
Yes.
What's happened now, and we've seen it with Samsung, we've seen it with Google, what they're doing now is they're saying, yeah, all of this stuff's great, ChatGPT, all that stuff it gives you is terrific, but we're going to make sure that whatever you're telling it is 100% you and is nobody else has access to it. Private cloud compute, which is baked into Apple, it says as of last night, is the ability, it's called a privacy forward architecture, is the fancy term for it. What it will do now is all the requests, if that's the way the software is written and that's the program you're using, will be processed on your device and not externally.
Okay.
So when it goes external, all it will do is use random bits of information which are not you, just what it needs to go and find information to bring it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll never leak your information out to the outside world. It'll go searching anonymously in the outside world, bring back what it needs to give you your answer, and then mix it on your phone, your Mac, or whatever it is that you're using, and then give you what you need to know.
Does it ever make you stop in your tracks, Maurice, that in this day and age we are so preoccupied, concerned, paranoid about being swan-necked and sneaky-beaked?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. It seems to be, and there's great merit in doing this. We need to be careful and mindful online, but we seem to go too far. I actually had lunch yesterday with a colleague who is involved. I had not heard of the company until he joined them, but they are the largest cybersecurity company in the world.
Right.
They are so well entrenched in that their name is not even known. That's how good they are at doing what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, it's not a name I'd ever heard of before. When I began to investigate, because he's really a well-heeled, well-credentialed, I mean, he's working for them, you know that they've got meat on the bones. This is an enormous multi-trillion dollar company that plays into all the defence, all the governments of the world, does all their cybersecurity, all that kind of stuff. And he was saying that the world of cybersecurity now is incredibly enormous in how much of a business it's become, not from their angle, but the other angle of people, you and I, going onto the black web and being able to buy a business that scams and spams people, and they're paying for it $5,000 or $10,000 for the setup,
yeah.
And then they're paying subscriptions, which gives them, you know, whenever we lose our email addresses or whatever to the black web,
yeah.
They pay a subscription, these terrible people in this black web place, and the subscription keeps feeding them new names to scam. It's an incredible marketplace. I had no idea it was that large or that well healed.
And it also is a testament to the fact that the human race has never been dodgier.
No,
basically.
Or had more access. I actually don't know if it hasn't been dodgier. I think it now has more access to be dodgy. It used to be difficult. You had to go and steal somebody's mail, or you had to do something. But now it's just so easy. You can do it from your bedroom and, you know, in your tracksuit pants.
But what is it in us that makes us do these things? You know, as you always say, horrible humans. There's a thing, isn't it? It's just a penalty.
There is, and that's an entirely different program. Maybe we need more than our usual time. You know, that's a lifetime of discussion just in there. But it is a human thing. As I've always done with you and everybody else, I rally against the fact that it is a digital thing. We've just made it worse. It's like bullying. Bullying always existed. It's a terrible, terrible human trait. We just amplified it to the nth degree online, and it's the same with this. We've amplified what we always did to the nth degree by taking it online. But that's why private cloud computing and those sorts of pieces of software are more and more important, and we're seeing a lot of our AI tools all coming out, or many of them coming out, saying this is what they're doing.
You know, an interesting thing to consider, and that really would take a long time, is that the darker side of human nature is being encouraged and enabled now by so many things.
Well, enabled. Enabled, absolutely. And then the terrible thing, which, again, I learned, I mean, I kind of knew this, but he laid it out really well yesterday, and that was that this has turned into a business, this terrible side, not his side, which is the, you know, batting against it, but the other side that he's fighting against has turned into a real business, not just of the really large governments and places we think of, but literally individuals who are now finding that they can make a squid, I mean, literally make dollars doing these terrible things and do them really, really easily.
Just a minute left, Maurice, before we go to the news. You write one sentence that sums this up, and it weirds people out, I'm sure. You write, Apple isn't talking about screens, it's talking about feelings and designing for them. I mean, that's quite scary, really.
Yeah. Thank you. Because that's what it is. I mean, we're over the technology. We don't care. It's like electricity and gas. It exists.
Sure.
We'll get a new iPhone or we won't. You know, the days where we used to buy for the hardware are gone. Nobody uses them. It's a badge of honour anymore. That's just something we need to make the other stuff. It really is now, especially with artificial intelligence, because it can know you so well, it really is now trying to tune into you, the individual, and your feelings and hook you on that. If they can make the screen feel better and feel more like you and even make you forget you're using a screen, it just feels natural like the end of your fingertips.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed. And to me, that's a concern as well as a bonus.
Well, this article, MauriceFuturist.com, go to his blog site. It's not just a what's happened with their latest announcements, blah, blah. There's a lot of thought in this. There's a lot of psychology, if you like, philosophy. Get on reading. It's quite a lengthy article, Maurice, so well done.
As always.
I will catch up with you next week. That's Maurice Misielewski, live from St Kilda in Melbourne.